in relation to the question of how is the woman to be beaten, or in terms of the admonishment as mentioned in the previous talk by the Sheikh, he mentioned there is a good question in this regard, because the how to do it is very important to know, that it doesn't exceed the boundaries of moderation. For verily, we do know that the Sheikh said that whatever you beat her with, whether it be a slap or a tiny toothpick, there's going to be an effect on the body, whether it be a red color or it's going to be so much. So you cannot say you cannot beat her without having any effect on the body. Because without any effect on the body, it's not considered a beating, that by the definition of the word. So beating does mean to entail some, not harm, but some effect upon the body. But however, what is forbidden is excessiveness, and that includes any mark on the body that goes beyond redness and to become blue or black or green. This is excessiveness. This causes harm on the body. Nor is a woman be allowed to be hit on the face or in the reproductive areas, or to the point where they use something as a cane or a long stick or a rod or something that will cause harm to the body and leave marks. And this is the main thing that the Sheikh mentioned as being the limit. Usually he mentioned a siwak, the thing that you brush your teeth with. This is something in similar size is what's been mentioned and to be used, but nothing more and beyond that, because it's excessiveness and only becomes oppressive.
Sure.
I have this question. Let me answer it. I have it here. In this country, a rebellious wife can be protected by the law. She can have him arrested and charged very easily if she decides to call the police for any reason she wishes. She can take the brother to court and have him severely punished financially. And how can the brother rid himself of this woman?
هو السؤال معناه إذا كانت المرأة تلجأ إلى القانون في هذه البلاد لكي تحصل على ما ليس لها بحق في الحقيقة في دين الله عز وجل، هل يجوز للرجل أن يطلقها لمثل هذا السبب؟ لا شك أنه إذا لم يجد سبيلا إلا أن يطلقها يجوز له أن يطلقها، هذا ما يحتاج إلى كلام، لكن الطلاق هو آخر العلاج، هذا أخ وكسره كسرها طلاقها، فهذا لا يكون إلا عند اليأس منها تماما. لكن طبعا الإنسان لا ينبغي أن يلجأ إلى الطلاق إلا عند عجزه عن كل الحلول الأخرى، وفي الغالب هي التي تطلقه، الذي أفهمه أنها هي التي تطلقه، ما يطلق يعني في هذه البلاد المرأة هي التي تطلق الرجل، فكما سمعت أنها تضع له شنطته خارج الباب وخلاص انتهى كل شيء. فعلى كل ما ينبغي للرجل أن يلجأ للطلاق إلا عند عجزه عن القيام بقوامة الأسرة، ولذلك نحن قلنا في هذه المحاضرة لا ينبغي للرجل من الأصل أن يكون عونا للشيطان على أهل بيته، بل عليه أن ينجي نفسه وينجي أهله بكل ما أوتي من الأسباب من الوقوع في هذه الفتن، وبخاصة في هذه البلاد. نسأل الله أن يحفظكم وأزواجكم وأولادكم من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن.
The Sheikh mentioned in regards to the woman who resorts to the legal system of the unbeliever to resolve a situation in the home, whether it be real or imagined or made up. Either way, the last resort for any case like this, of course, is of course divorce, but this is the last treatment, the last resort for any type of resolution of any problem like this. A case in this court, in this land, divorce has many meanings. Even so much that even in this land, women divorce their husbands by leaving their, coming home one night and they have all this baggage outside the door. This is the freedom, unfortunately, that is found in this country where the laws protect this type of behavior, and there's no recourse for the man in this regard. What the man must do, however, in the context of his home, is to prevent any way of helping shaitan, any way of facilitating shaitan in the home by introducing evil practices, including beatings, when not necessary or overabundant, to the point where that the woman does recourse herself to the legal system here, and therefore find the man not fulfilling his rights, nor the woman fulfilling her rights. And again, divorce is the last resort, but there should be measures done before this resolves in this regard, especially with relegation to the unbelieving court to solve our problem. It's a man and a Muslim
to follow the way of Muhammad SAW to fix the problems that are found, and not to help shaitan, but to help the way of the wife and to help the way of the husband according to the way of Muhammad SAW. And this is the only solution we have in this circumstance. How should the husband treat his wife during pregnancy?
السؤال كيف يعامل الرجل امرأته أثناء حملها؟ يعني قد يفهم منه أن السائل يسأل عن العشرة الزوجية، وقد يفهم منه خلاف ذلك. فأما العشرة فيجوز للرجل أن يعاشر امرأته حال حملها، وربنا يقول عاشرهن بالمعروف، فلا الحمل لا يمنع من العشرة الزوجية. لكن إن كان الغرض من السؤال ما هو أعم من ذلك، فلا شك أن المرأة الحامل عليها أعباء أشد من المرأة غير الحامل، وبالتالي تحتاج إلى معاملة خاصة حفاظا عليها وعلى جنينها، حتى إن الشرع أباح لها أن تفطر في رمضان وأن تطعم عن كل يوم مسكينة. ويعني للمرأة حال حملها يعني ظروفها الخاصة التي ينبغي أن تراعى، فحسن الخلق وحسن العشرة يقتضي أن يعاملها معاملة خاصة في ذلك الوقت، لا ينبغي أن يحملها ما لا تطيق من الخدمة وغيره، وكذلك لا ينبغي أن يضربها في بطنها. هذا طبعا يضاف إلى ما سبق من أن الضرب لا يكون ضربا شديدا أو ضارا، فلا ينبغي أن يضربها في بطنها أثناء حملها، وأن يضربها ضربا يعني يؤلمها ألما شديدا. فعليه خلاصة الجواب أن يحسن معاملتها أكثر من أي وقت آخر. وأما العشرة فيجوز طبعا أن يعاشرها ما لم تضع حملها، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم.
الحمد لله، جزاكم الله خير. الشيخ mentioned in regards to the responsibilities of a husband over a wife who is pregnant and during the pregnancy. Indeed, this is a particular circumstance among the rights that a husband has upon his wife. In addition to the normal rights he has upon her, this is a special circumstance where the rights are even more increased because of the fact of her weakness in her physical situation and the extra exertion and responsibility that she is carrying, and above all, the fact that a child is involved in the future in this regard. So therefore, the husband has more rights in taking care and easing that which is maybe in her weakened physical state, relieving the burden of chores or those things that may be required of her. And other than those times of pregnancy, must be relieved through help, through helping and having somebody help her. Or, and above all, feeding her appropriate foods and nutrition. And above all, in terms of admonition and punishment, to not to beat her, as mentioned earlier, excessively, especially in the stomach and the area of the carrying of the womb, which is forbidden. And therefore, this is the way of treating the wife who has the responsibility of bringing up a child, and it starts before the child is born. And the responsibility of the husband over the wife in the pregnancy including in times of Ramadan, where she may not be able to fast because of her pregnancy, that he is able to produce out of his pocket the feeding of a poor person for every day that she misses. These are things that only help her with the physical parts of her burden, but also the religious affairs in her burden during pregnancy. And this all has to be accommodated by the husband. It is his duty, and it is the right upon him, for him to fulfill these things. And where he's negligent, only causes harm, not only to her, but her religion, and eventually the offspring. And this is the only way to relegate this, by fulfilling all those rights. As well, Akhir, please give advice to the husband who does not take care for his sick wife.
لا شك طبعا أن المرأة ضعيفة، وإذا كانت في هذه البلاد فهي أحوج ما تكون إلى زوج يعطف عليها ويرعاها. فكما قلنا، لا ينبغي أن يكون الرجل عونا للشيطان على امرأته في هذه البلاد، ولا ينبغي أن يضطرها إلى اللجوء إلى القضاء الأمريكي. فلذلك المرأة حال مرضها، تعرفون أن الكفار يفتقدون هذه الروح الطيبة بين الزوجين، وأنهم يفتقدون العواطف والصفات الطيبة التي تكون بين الزوج المسلم وزوجها، ما يعرفون هذا. ولذلك وضعوا قوانين جافة كما يقال، قوانين قاسية ما فيها مراعاة للمشاعر بين الزوجين، لأنهم يفتقدون هذه المشاعر، عندهم فراغ قلبي وروحي، لا يفهمون حقيقة الإسلام، لا يعرفون عظمة هذا الدين. فهذا الدين يدعو إلى المودة والرحمة، وربنا جعل بين الزوجين مودة ورحمة. فالمرأة المريضة لا بد لزوجها أن يرعاها، أن يعطف عليها، وأن يشعرها أنه مهتم بها، وأنه يطمئن عليها ويسأل عنها، وأن يعني يهتم بعلاجها وبدواء، يسألها هل أخذت الدواء ولا ما. كلمة طيبة. وقد أباح الله للزوج أن يكذب على زوجته من أجل أن يستجلب مودتها، وكذلك للزوجة أن تكذب على الزوج لكي تستجلب مودته. يعني ما تكون المرأة مثلا جميلة ويقول لها ما رأيت أجمل منك، هذا يجوز. كذلك تصنع طعاما ما هو طيب، يقول ما أحلى هذا الطعام، ما هو طيب. يعني أباح للزوج أن يكذب حتى يستجلب مودتها، فكيف إذا كان الأمر ما يحتاج إلى كذب، هي فقط مريضة تحتاج أن تسمع منك كلمة طيبة، كيف حالك، هل أخذت الدواء ولا لا، يعني اهتمي بنفسك، ما إلى ذلك. كلمات لن يخسر شيئا، بل هذه في ميزان حسنات. الكلمة الطيبة صدقة، اللقمة يضعها في فم امرأة صدقة، فهذه كلها صدقات ينبغي أن يعمل أحدنا لتحصيلها، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم.
In relation to the rights a husband upon treatment of the sick wife, this is again a particular circumstance where the rights of the husband upon his wife are increased because of the necessity and need of his wife. And it must be done under the general ruling that he's mentioned several times, is not to assist shaitan, not to assist the evil elements inside your home from that which exists outside his home in this evil environment. And we verily know that the unbeliever is known for their very callousness and sterile and very aloofness in terms of the relationship. When one is sick, they have to grin and bear it, or they run out to the doctor, and there's very little communication or affection between the husband and wife in regards to the time of period of illness. We should not imitate them. We should be far from their characteristics, where husband and wife should be sensitive to their needs, finding the correct treatment, and not overbearing each other by even circumstances of a simple word, a kind word, a statement has much benefit in these regards, so much so that it's permissible in these circumstances to even lie. For by saying that, instead of saying, oh, I've seen better looking woman than you, you were the most beautiful woman around. Or if the food has been served and doesn't taste as good as you, you're saying, this is the best food I ever tasted. These are also ways of curing and keeping the intact, the general healthy environment of the home. So it's not only just medicine, but the treatment and the affection between husband and wife that are most important during this time, especially during times of sickness. But really, a good word, a good statement is just like sadaqah, a charity. And these are the times of charity that you should be very free and giving in your household, because it only adds and raises the overall healthy atmosphere and the condition of those who may be afflicted.
Yeah. Salah, this will be the last question, because now it's 5 to 10. And this question, one brother, he asked me a long time ago, and alhamdulillah, this is an opportunity to ask the Sheikh this question. And it is a very important question. The brother asked, he said, if my mother and my sister are living with me in my house, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask me, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask me about them? Am I responsible if they don't wear hijab, for example, if they don't practice Islam in my house? Am I responsible for that or not? Or am I allowed to force them to wear hijab, or what they should do in Islam? في أخ سأل إذا كان البيت هو بيت الأسرة وهو يعيش فيه، فطبعا لن يستطيع ذلك، لأنه لا سلطان له على كل أهل البيت. أما إذا كان فعلا البيت بيته كما في ظاهر السؤال، وهم فقط يعني هم الذين يعيشون عنده وهو يقوم على نفقتهن، فلا بد في هذه الحالة أن يقيم حكم الله فيهن على أمه وأخته، وأن يلزمهن بالحجاب والصلاة، لأنهن بهذا صرن جزءا من رعيته، ويقوم بما عليه، يعني يفعل ما يقدر عليه، يفعل ما يقدر. وطبعا الحجاب لا يجب عليهن إلا في حالة الاختلاط بالأجانب أو الخروج إلى الشارع، وبالتالي هو لا يأمرهن بالحجاب داخل البيت، إنما إذا دخل البيت أجانب فهو في هذه الحالة يستطيع أن يتحكم في الأمر، أنه يجعل الرجال في مكان غير المكان الذي فيه النساء، هذا ما يلزمه. أما إذا خرجت المرأة منهن من البيت فطبعا هو لا يمكن أن يحكمها خارج البيت، عليه أن يعظها وأن يعني يأمرها بالمعروف وينهى عن المنكر، وأن يقول أنا بريء منك إذا خرجت على هذه الحالة، ويمكن أن يهددها بقطع النفقة أو تقليلها، يعني ما دام هو القيم في داخل البيت فعليه أن يصلح رعيته بكل ما استطاع من أسباب وسبل، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم.
جزاكم الله خير. Sheikh Hafidullah, in relation to the question of a man living in a household with a mother and a sister and they do not keep the hijab, or in relation maybe making the other obligations of Islam such as Salah, what is the correct responsibility of this person? Will he be questioned and held responsible for their disobedience in terms of regards to his responsibility in the house? Well, the Sheikh Hafidullah said in the answer, in relation to the two situations, does the man just live as a member of the household, or is he the man of the household? In other words, does he support them from his means, both the wife, the mother and the sister? If that is the case, then the answer proceeds. If he is responsible in terms of the material affairs of the house, such as owning the house, renting the house, paying the sustenance and the food and upkeep of both the mother and the sister, then he has every right in regards to their upkeep of their religious obligations. As mentioned in the narration that he already mentioned earlier today, that every person who is in guard or watch over a thing will be responsible for that thing. And a man is responsible for that which is household, which is the first priority in terms of relationships and responsibilities. For that relationship, those women are part of his household. They are part of his protectorate. Therefore, he has to be responsible for their keeping the hijab and honoring the other obligations such as salah in Islam. Now, in relation to the hijab, of course, it must be made clear here that the use of the hijab, the covering of the body of the woman, is for the purpose when they are mixing or in contact with men outside of the household. It does not mean that it must be ordered that they wear hijab in the household when they're among those people they cannot marry, the male members of the family. But this must be made clear. The relationship of the woman in hijab is for the purpose of leaving the house, going among men that are not from her immediate family which she can marry, and this is what the obligation of the men has to know. What are their rights and the hudud, the limits of hijab in this regard? And of course, salat must be upkept, because this is something where the basic duties of all men and women to keep them as Muslims, and the household is his responsibility. And in terms of the rectification of any problem in this regard, he says, it must be done through wise, patient, and flexible means and alternatives. Among them, he mentioned, is if he is in charge of the sustenance, he can withhold or rescind part of that so that they get an understanding that they are responsible for their actions in that household while he is supporting them, and therefore they must correct or change their deeds. There are certain ways that have to be done very easily. Again, these are his blood relations, and must be in a way that is easy, but again, not compromising or superseding the way of Allah's laws in relation to the rights of a woman in covering her body and making salah and those other obligations in the household. Allah knows best.
لو رفضت المرأة
أن تطيع، رفضت الأم أخت أم على أمور القائد.
في حالة امتناع المرأة الأم أو الأخت من طاعة الشرع في بيت الإنسان، فهنا لابد من النظر إلى العواقب من حيث المصالح والمفاسد. هل إذا خرجت الأم أو الأخت خارج هذا البيت ستكون المفسدة أعظم أم ستكون أقل؟ لأنه لا ينبغي أن يتصرف تصرفا يؤدي إلى مفسدة أعظم. يعني قد تخرج مثلا هذه البنت أخته أو أمه من البيت فتلجأ مثلا إلى الزنا أو الفاحشة، فهنا لابد أن يقدر العواقب وأن يحسب الأمور حسابا دقيقا قبل أن يتسرع بطردهن مثلا من البيت. فعليه في هذه الحالة أن يتصرف التصرف الحكيم، كأن مثلا يؤجر لهن بيتا خاصا ويقول لست مسؤولا عنكن إلا من حيث النفقة فقط، أما من حيث الحجاب والصلاة فأنا بريء منكن. فهذا نوع من التصرف الحكيم، أنه يجعل لهن مسكنا خاصا لا يكون هو المسؤول فيه وفقط ينفق عليهن ويقول أنا بريء منكن. لكن أقصد أيا كان نوع التصرف لابد أن تقدر فيه العواقب، فيتصرف التصرف الذي فيه المفسدة الأقل والمصلحة الأعظم، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم.
In regards to the question, the Sheikh Hafidhullah in a very clear way mentioned that if a woman refuses or negates any of the admonitions in adhering to the Sharia, that is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the household, there must be some punishment, there must be some resolution. It cannot be left abandoned, because it's your responsibility to correct it. Of course, the limits of resolution here must be done with wisdom. The far extreme short of banning and throwing them out of the house, which is the worst extreme, because you can lead to greater harm and greater sin, to get involved in adultery and prostitution or other harmful things that could occur to a girl, a sister or a mother on their own or in tandem out on the street. So this is not the resolution. But short of that, using wisdom and understanding of the ways that have been resolved through the way of the Sunnah, short of that, must be done in each individual case according to its circumstance. One resolution could be in terms of giving a separate living quarters, no longer part of your household technically, even though you have limited your help to the giving of sustenance, that is, paying the rent and the food. Other than that, whatever they do in terms of the hijab or salah, you have no free from that. In that regard, you resolve yourself that responsibility, but not put them in a condition where they'd be worse off by being out on the streets. That's one alternative. And there are many others less than that. Many other alternatives that can be found, and only found through the individual circumstance of the family, and it must be resolved. And there's no doubt that it must be resolved through punishment, through warnings, through admonition, because without that, you have not fulfilled your part of the story. As far as fulfilling their food and the material ways, that is the least you can do for them, and be far away and disowning them and other parts of the religion, then you have freed yourself from that regard. But rather than throwing them on the street, you must use the wisdom and the in circumstance of a particular situation to resolve that. Allah knows that.
Jazakumullah khairan, brothers. Thank you for coming. And inshallah tomorrow the conference will start at 11 o'clock sharp. So we're hoping that we'll see the brothers tomorrow inshallah at 11 o'clock, not 5 after 11. Please come on time inshallah, and let the angels write down your name that you are the first one who attend this sitting of knowledge. So inshallah, try to be on time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will benefit you, will help you to get more knowledge. And Sheikh Usam al-Qusi tomorrow is giving two lectures at the conference. So thank you again for your coming, and we hope to see you again inshallah in this masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from me and from all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our knowledge about this deen, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have his mercy on all of us. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم والحمد لله رب العالمين.